Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah Davis, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, known as the 12th Hour in Libertyville, Texas. Today is September 9, 2016, or this Tishri 9, 2020. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, They Come from the East and the West. They come from the East and West. They come from the North and South. Invited to join with Yahshua his death, fell in their father's house, to gaze at his lovely face, and clothed with his purity, join with him in song and joy throughout eternity. He gathers a countless host, redeemed by his grace from wrong. No more any sin, no more any tear, no more any night so long. All things are now passed away, all things are become as new. Cause he shall reign eternally, for death is ended soon. Remember the pearly gate stands open for you and me. Our Savior has gone a place to prepare for those who from sin set free. Loved ones who have passed away are resting within the grave, awaiting at last trumpet call for those who came to save. They come from the thorny path, they come from the stormy sea, they come from the hill, they come from the dale. They come now, O Yah, to thee, arrayed in his marriage robe, their bridegroom to so soon to see. He who hung up on the cross to win the victory. Who was Cyrus the Great? This is going to be the name of our sermon today, but we're going to primarily be reading from the tract, the Tihara's tract, The World Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow, about these four beasts. But we want to read to you about Cyrus, because he is represented by that second beast that Daniel saw in vision, which was the bear. And on that great image that Daniel saw in vision, the second part of that image was made of silver. And that was the breast. And it was made of silver that represented the Medes and the Persians, the Persian government, and which Cyrus was the king of. And Cyrus is called the great king. Now, again, I want to read to you from this that I clicked on here on the computer. It's called gotquestions.org. They asked the question, who was Cyrus in the Bible? Okay, it said, answer, Cyrus is a king mentioned more than 30 times in the Bible and is identified as Cyrus the Great, also Cyrus number 2, or Cyrus the Elder, who reigned over Persia between 539 and 530 B.C. This pagan king is important in Jewish history because it was under his rule that the Jews were first allowed to return to Israel after the 70 years of captivity. So apparently, Cyrus overthrew Babylon in 539 B.C., but it took 4 years for Babylon, I mean for the for him to return the Jews back to the land of Israel, to Judea, to restore the temple, because they returned in 535. That ended their 70-year captivity from 605 to 535. That Cyrus overthrew Babylon in 539, 4 years earlier. So they just didn't move the Jews overnight. But they were delivered in 539. But they didn't fully get back to their land until 535. All right. And one of the most, this pagan king, it says Cyrus, is important in Jewish history because it's under his rule that the Jews were first allowed to return to Israel after the 70 years of captivity. In one of the most amazing prophecies of the Bible, Isaiah predicts Cyrus' decree to free the Jews 150 years before Cyrus lived. The prophet calls him by name and gives details of Cyrus' benevolence to the Jews. This is what the Yahweh says to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I take hold of to subdue nations. Before him, I summon you by name and bestow on you a title of honor, though you do not know me, you have not known me, Isaiah 45:1-4. And they're quoting from another Bible, so I'm going to turn to the King James Bible and quote it from there now. So in Isaiah 45 from the King James Version, it says, thus saith Yahweh unto his anointed, unto Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue a nations before him. And I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee, and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass, and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Yahweh, which called thee by thy name, am the Yahweh of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name, and I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am the Yahweh, and there is none else. There is no Elohim beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Yahweh, and there is none else. I form the light and create the darkness. I make peace, and I create evil. I, the Yahweh, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation. And let righteousness spring up together, how the Yahweh have created. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker, let the potsherds strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, what makest thou? Or thy work, he hath no hand. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Thus saith Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captive. Not for price nor reward, saith Yahshua of hosts. Thus saith Yahweh, the labor of Egypt and the merchandise of Ethiopia and of the Sabaeans, men of stature shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee in chains, and they shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely Yahweh is in thee, and there is none else. There is no Yahweh. Verily thou art a Yahweh that hidest thyself, O Elohim of Israel, and the Savior. They shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together that are makers of idols. So you can take and have a false prophet. You can make an idol out of a false prophet, or somebody that just springs out of nowhere and says, I'm sent as a messenger. I'm sent with inspiration. I have a message. It could be a man or a woman from any race. It doesn't make any difference. It could happen just anywhere, anytime, with anybody. These are just nothing but a bunch of entrepreneurs that have sent themselves, aspiring to be something that Yahweh had never intended for them to even be. He never preordained them for this. He didn't give them a foundation. He didn't give them a preordination in the prophecies. But yet they come saying, I'm somebody. I'm somebody. I'm proof in the Bible. I'm somebody. I've got a message. No, that don't work. Verse 17, but Israel shall be saved into Yahweh with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed or nor confounded, world without end. Okay, that's enough of that. I want to go now back to what I was reading from on the computer. And it says, Cyrus' decree released the Jewish people in the fulfillment of prophecy is recorded in 2 Chronicles 36:22 and 23. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of Yahweh by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, Yahweh stirred the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and also put it in writing. Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, Yahweh, the Elohim of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whosoever is among you of all the people, may the Yahweh his Elohim be with him. Let him go up. Other Old Testament books that mention Cyrus include Ezra and Daniel. King Cyrus' activity assisted the Jews in rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem under Ezra and Zerubbabel. Cyrus restored the temple treasures to Jerusalem and allowed building expenses to be paid from the royal treasury. Oh, that was the royal treasury of Cyrus. Okay. Ezra 1:4-11. Ezra 6:4-5. Cyrus's beneficent help to restart the temple worship practices that had languished during the 70 years of the Jews' captivity. Some commentators point to Cyrus's decree to rebuild Jerusalem as the official beginning of Judaism. Besides his dealing with the Jews, Cyrus is known for his advancement of human rights, his brilliant military strategy, and his bringing of Eastern and Western cultures, or bridging, and his bridging of the Eastern and the Western cultures. That's exactly what Donald Trump is raised up to do today. As answer for Cyrus, that's his number one objective, is to bridge. He said, Israel is going to have peace for the first time under my presidency. He said, Israel is going to have peace. There's no reason why no nation can't have peace. He said, you've got to kill and destroy the evil out of it. And he said, you can have peace. So that's what Donald Trump, the main objective is human rights for all people of all nations in their own nation to have their own individual culture, and have their own individual kings ruling over them, and not having some autumnal king like a king of Babylon ruling over all the world and making all subjects enslaved. No, this is exactly what the type Cyrus, this is his main objective, was bridging the Eastern and the Western culture. He was a king of tremendous influence and a person Yahweh used to help fulfill an important Old Testament prophecy which laid down the tie for our time now in the 12th hour that we're in now for a New Testament prophecy to be fulfilled. Yahweh used Cyrus as a shepherd for his people illustrates the truth of Proverbs 21:1, where it says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Yahweh. He directs it by a water course wherever he pleases." So Donald Trump's heart is in the king, is in the hands of the king, of the Yahweh. Donald Trump is a king. He is a king of his own, and he has an empire. It's called the Trump Empire. And he owns property all over the world. He owns 14 motels scattered out in as many nations. And he has property all over the world. And that's providential because Cyrus did too in the time. He conquered all the western and eastern countries of the old world, nations, and he gave them their individual cultures to, for their own self, and so forth. And he allowed them to have their own ruling autonomy, their own kings, and he moved on. As he'd sit one nation after another free from Babylon's rule, then he moved on. And the last thing he conquered was Babylon before he got killed in battle after that, himself. He conquered Babylon in 539 B.C., and 9 years later, he got killed in battle trying to conquer the whole eastern and western world. But his son, Cambyses, succeeded him and finished the job of joining. That's the reason why Cyrus is called the greatest king ever, because he joined the east and the west, and they called, he said, and he's a, well, matter of fact, let's go read it. We're going to read to you now from the Wikipedia on the computer, Encyclopedia. It says, Cyrus the Great in the Bible. It says from Wikipedia, the Free Encyclopedia, Cyrus the Great, 600 or 576 to 530 B.C., figures in the Hebrew Bible as the patron and deliverer of the Jews. He is mentioned 23 times by name and alluded to several times more. From these statements, it appears that Cyrus the Great, king of Persia, was a monarch under whom the Babylonian captivity ended for, according unto the Bible, in the first year of his reign he was prompted by Yahweh to make a decree that the temple in Jerusalem should be rebuilt, and that such Jews as cared might return to their land for this purpose. For Yahweh is preparing Donald Trump's heart as Antipas Cyrus to fulfill this very thing that I'm reading to you about this restoration of the temple, because his daughter, Ivanka, which is right there at the, with Donald, her father, and right there in his office every day. She's his assistant and assistant in council matters. She's converted to Judaism. Her husband is a Jew, and Donald Trump has acknowledged the Sabbath and the Jewish Judeo-religion. He says he's accepted it. And so he believes the Sabbath is right. And so that right there is the beginning. Moreover, he shows his interest in the project by sending back with them the sacred vessel which had been taken from the first temple and a considerable sum of money with which to buy building materials. the existence of the deep tree has been challenged. But again, I want to tell you that in Isaiah itself, the Bible, chapter 45, verse 13, I want to remind you that Yahweh says here 150 years before Cyrus was even born, to Isaiah, he said, I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives. Not for price nor reward, saith the Yahshua of hosts. Okay, so there it is in prophecy. Isaiah 45:13. Don't forget that scripture now. That's a key scripture to remember. So it says, Cyrus and Babylon, and the Jewish connection. Cyrus the Great is unconditionally praised in the Jewish sources. It is likely that after the Persian conquest of Babylon, Cyrus had commenced his relationship with the Jewish leaders in exile, and that he later was considered as the Messiah sent by Yahweh. The Hebrew Bible states that Cyrus issued the decree of the liberation to the Jews. Well, Donald Trump says that since he becomes president, he says his Jerusalem is going to be liberated from its antagonizers, from their enemies. So he's gonna orchestrate the deliverance of them from their enemy. So they have a right to be free. That is their land by inheritance, and so they have the right to not be oppressed by the enemies. That's claiming that's their land too. So it says, Cyrus' edict for the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem marked a great epoch in the history of the Jewish people. Now keep in mind that the Greek Orthodox Jews in Jerusalem today, they have already got a priesthood trained to operate in that third temple that they said that they're going to build. They're going to build just as soon as they get Jerusalem gets free from their enemy and the Temple Mount is freed, they're going to build that third temple. Well, they said this, but they don't have an antitypical Cyrus in their midst to direct them to do that. And so they're not going to be able to do it. Donald Trump is going to be the one that's going to give this decree to rebuild that third temple. That third temple is going to be built. But it's going to be built by Yahweh's people that's fulfilling the prophecy right there in the and Amos' prophecy of Amos chapter 9. And it's going to be antitypical David and the 50,000 that are earmarked to go back with Judah to build this temple. Donald Trump is going to give the decree, because those 50,000 are gathered right here in the wilderness of people, where out of all nations where they had been scattered, and the wilderness of people right here in Texas.
And do you realize?
And they're already referring to Donald Trump as the Messiah. And I want to read that to you, what they did in the type. That's exactly what the Jewish people did in the type. They said he's the first Gentile that the Jews ever honored them among their leaders, and they called him the Messiah. They honored him, they called him the Deliverer, the Savior of the Jewish people back there in the time. So let us go and read that some more. Alright, it says, the Hebrew Bible states that Cyrus issued the decree of the liberation unto the Jews. Cyrus's edict for the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem marked a great epoch in the history of the Jewish people. As I told you, that the Orthodox Jews that have got a lock, jaw, vice grip hold on Jerusalem today, when Yahweh comes with his people, with Donald Trump and David, and typically Elijah, with Elijah's message, when they come, it says in Zechariah 14, 14, he said, and Judah shall also fight at Jerusalem. So that's where he's going to have that battle first. And then that decree is going to go forth to rebuild Jerusalem. But it's actually cleaned out all the riffraff and the enemies and all of those false and typical Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes, those Orthodox Jews that are in there running the temple that hate Yeshua. They don't believe in him. And they're going to build that temple to sacrifice animals unto the Father because they don't believe in Yeshua. What a hoot. Well, we're going to build that temple, but Peter says how we're going to build it. Peter, in the book of Peter, tells us how it's going to be done. It's going to raise up with lively stones, purified saints that have come to the judgment first and foremost, starting with the house of David and the 50,000 strong of his helpers that is going to be of the house of David. Then you've got 144,000 first fruits that comes of the whole 12 tribes of Israel. But you're going to have at least 50,000 strong that belong to the tribe of Judah out of the 144,000 of the 12 tribes. Okay? So it says, according to Ezra 4:1-6, the enemies of Judah and Benjamin asked to help build the temple. The enemies now. So that's what we have over in Jerusalem today. Those Orthodox Jews, those rabbis and so forth that occupies and controls the West Wall and part of the Temple Mount, they are the enemies to these antitypical Ezra. They're the enemies to antitypical Zerubbabel. And because Zerubbabel and Ezra the scribe went back by the command of Cyrus to go and oversee the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the temple and the walls and everything. Well, your antitypical Ezra's and Cyrus, I mean, antitypical Ezra's and Nehemiah, Ezra, and Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the governor of Judea. So he went back as governor. Ezra went back as an interpreter of the law, as a priest, scribe of the law. You had Nehemiah that went back later to raise up the walls and finish raising up the walls around it. And it says the enemies of Judah and Benjamin, the two legitimate tribes that represented those 50,000 that went back of the tribe of Judah. Remember, Benjamin is also called Judah. They're the doorkeeper to Judah. It's just that they're one and the same. The enemies asked of Judah and Benjamin to build the temple. And when this was denied, hired counselors to frustrate the people of Judah from completing the rebuilding. So, these enemies now of antitypical Judah, they're not the Orthodox Jews in the land. No, they're not. They're the ones that have been driven out of Jerusalem during the last days. But they reside in countries outside of Jerusalem, like among the Muslims, are the arch enemies. That's who these enemies were of anciently of Judah and Benjamin. They were half-brothers to Isaac. They were the Ishmaelites, descendants of the Ishmaelites. Alright, so it says, when this was denied, hard counselors to frustrate the people of Judah from completing this rebuilding throughout the reign of Cyrus, Xerxes, Ahasuerus, and Artaxerxes, until the reign of Darius. Now, when did the reign of Darius begin then? Cyrus died in 530. There was Yahweh raised up two prophets, Zechariah and Haggai, and 520, 10 years later, after Cyrus died, Cambyses, then you had, Darius succeeded, and so Darius, he gave a decree that they should get back to rebuilding the temple because they started rebuilding it, restoring it in 535, They left off 5 years, 15 years, they got harassed, and so they stopped building the temple, restored it. And 15 years later, in 520, Darius, that succeeded Cyrus, he gave a second decree, and he said, now you get back to building and get this temple built, finished. And so they went back to work under the prophets of Haggai and Zechariah, the two prophets, sent there for this very purpose. And the Jews rose up and they finished restoring that temple by 516. 515 B.C. they got it completed. So it took them 20 years to restore it. Okay. So by 515 they had it restored. From 535 to 515. All right, now it says, the work recommended under the exhortation of the prophets, and when the authorities asked the Jews what right they had to build the temple, they referred to the decree of Cyrus. Darius II, who was then reigning, caused a search for this alleged decree to be made, and it was found in the archives of ECBATANA, whereupon Darius reaffirmed the decree, and the work proceeded to his triumphant close. A chronicle drawn up just after the conquest of Babylon, or the Babylonians, by Cyrus, gives a history of the reign of Nabonidus. Okay. So it's pronounced Nabu-Naid. Okay, Nabu-Naid. N-A-B-U-N-A-I-D. -ID. The last king of Babylon and of the fall of the Babylonian Empire in 538 B.C. But the scripture says that Belshazzar, the son of Nebuchadnezzar, and actually Belshazzar was a grandson. He was a son of Nebuchadnezzar's daughter. They give the name here. But the generic term back then that they used for referring back to their ancestry, so even to their grandfather, they called him father. The grandson would call their grandfather father. They wouldn't call him grandfather, they said father. And they did that for many generations. Like they say, David's our father today. Well, I'm of the house of David, so David's my father. Okay. There was a revolt in 538 B.C. There was a revolt in southern Babylon while the army of Cyrus entered the country from the north. In June, the Babylonian army was completely defeated at Opus, and immediately afterwards, Sippara opened its gates to the conqueror, Gobryas, Beru, the governor of Media, was then sent to Babylon, which surrendered without fighting, and the daily services in the temples continued without a break. In October, Cyrus himself arrived and proclaimed a general amnesty, which was communicated by Gobryas, G-O-B-R-Y-A-S, to all the province of Babylon, of which he had been made governor. Meanwhile, Nabonidus, who had concealed himself, was captured, but treated honorably, and when his wife died, Cambyses II, the son of Cyrus, conducted the funeral. Cyrus now assumed the title of King of Babylon, claimed to be the descendant of the ancient kings, and made rich offerings to the temple. At the same time, he allowed the foreign population who had been deported to Babylonia to return to their old homes, carrying with them the images of their gods. Among these populations were the Jews, who, as they had no images, took with them the sacred vessels of the temple. Speculation abounds as to the reason for Cyrus' release of the Jews from Babylon. One argument being that Cyrus was a follower of the Zoroaster, the monotheistic prophet. Zoroastrianism played a dominant religious role in Persia throughout its history until the Islamic conquest. That's Ishmael. As such, he would have felt a kindred spirit with the monotheistic Jews, which was Islamic. Another possibility is a magnanimous respect he is ascribed to have evinced for the diverse beliefs and customs of the peoples within his extended kingdom. As one example, upon the conquest of Babylon itself, it is recorded that he paid homage at the temple of the Babylonian god Marduk, thereby gaining the support of the Babylonian people and minimizing further bloodshed. Our Jewish tradition, as described previously in Ezra 1:1-8, indicates that Yahweh inspired King Cyrus of Persia to issue this proclamation, and in the Cyrus cylinder, he pays homage to Marduk. This Babylonian document has been interpreted as referring to the return to the homelands of several displaced cultural groups, one of which could have been the Jews. From Babylon to Assur, and from Susa, Agadi, Esnuna, Zamban, Turnu, Dur, as far as the region of Gutu-Atam, the sacred centers on the other side of the Tigris, whose sanctuaries had been abandoned for a long time, I returned the images of the gods who had resided there to their places, and I let them dwell in eternal abode. I gathered all their inhabitants and returned to them their dwellings. In addition, at the command of Marduk, the great lord, I settled in their habitations and pleasing abodes the gods of Sumer and Akkad, whom Nabonidus, to the anger of the lord of the gods, had brought into Babylon. Okay. However, it has been argued that it must be referring to people associated to the images cult instead of deportees. Diana Elderman has pointed at the serious chronological difficulties that arise when we accept that the Jews returned during the reign of Cyrus. The term used by the author of Deuterio, Isaiah, are reminiscent of the certain passages in the Cyrus cylinder. Traditionally, these passages in Isaiah were believed to predate the rule of Cyrus by about 100 years. However, most modern scholars date Isaiah 40-55, often referred to as Deuterio Isaiah, toward the end of the Babylonian exile, 536 B.C., whereas Isaiah 1:39, referred to as Proto-Isaiah, saw the destruction of Israel as imminent and the restoration in the future. Deuterio Isaiah speaks of the destruction in the past, Isaiah 42:24-25, and the restoration as imminent in Isaiah 42:1-9. Notice, for example, the change in temporal perspective form, Isaiah 39:67, where the Babylonian captivity is cast far in the future, Isaiah 43:14, where the Israelites are spoken of as already in Babylon. According to scholar R.N. Wybrae, the author of Deuterio, Isaiah, chapters 40-55, was mistaken for he thought that Cyrus would destroy Babylon, but he did not. Cyrus made it more splendid than ever, but he did allow the Jewish exiles to return home, though not in the triumphant manner which Deuterio Isaiah expected. Who roused from the east him that victory hails at every step? Who presents him with nations, subdues kings to him? His sword makes dust of them, and his bow scatters them like straw. He pursues them, advances unhindered, his feet scarcely touching the road. Who is the author of this deed? if not he who called the generation from the beginning? I am Yahweh, who am the first and shall be with the last. Isaiah 41:2-4. Then the alliance between Cyrus and Yahweh is made explicit. This says to Yahweh to his anointed. So when you say this, then you say antitypical Cyrus, that Donald Trump is antitypical Cyrus today, and Yahweh has his alliance was laid out in the type, and it will be fulfilled in the antitype the way it was. When he made his alliance with Cyrus, he established that for both, for Cyrus and Donald Trump, because they both represent the same thing in their time. Thus saith to Yahweh, unto his anointed, to Cyrus, whom he hath taken by his right hand to subdue nations before him, and stripped the loins of kings, to force gateways before him, that their gates be closed no more. I will go before you, leveling the heights. I will shatter the bronze gateways, smash the iron bars. I will give you the hidden treasures, the secret hoards, that you may know that I am the Yahweh, Isaiah 45:1-3. So Yahweh is going to go before Donald Trump. He's already given Donald Trump riches untold. And now he's going to go before him, and he's going to open the two-leaf gates of all these nations that have that are run by the Illuminati, that have hoards and stolen all the treasure and wealth of the world, gold and silver and everything, and all gems and precious stones and everything. They have tucked it and locked it in their vaults in their own countries. Yahweh's going to go before Donald Trump. He's going to go through the world. He's going to start here in the United States. He's going to go throughout the whole world. And he's going to unlock. I'm just going to read to you again. Thus saith to Yahweh, unto his anointed, to Cyrus, antitypical, Donald Trump, antitypical Cyrus, whom he has taken by his right hand to subdue nations before him, and stripped the loins of kings, to force gateways, to open up the gateways before him, that their gates be closed no more. I will go before you, leveling the heights. I will shatter the bronze gateway, smash the iron bars. I will give you the hidden treasures, the secret hoards, that you may know that I am the Yahweh. Isaiah 45:1-3. There's your prophecy. There is your among the classical Jewish sources besides the Bible, Josephus, 1st century AD, mentions that Cyrus freed the Jews from captivity and helped rebuild the temple. He also wrote to the rulers and governors that they should contribute to the rebuilding of the temple and assisted them in rebuilding the temple. A letter from Cyrus to the Jews is described by Josephus. So when Donald Trump becomes the ruler of the United States, he in essence is going to become the ruler of the world. And he's going to have the power to tell all these nations, the leaders of these nations, you helped destroy Jerusalem and Israel. Now you're going to bring your money. You're going to use your money and gold. And that's going to be the Gentiles now. For it says in Zechariah, it says the forces of Gentiles. It says the horns of the Gentiles that scattered Jerusalem is going to come in now, and they're going to be responsible for rebuilding Jerusalem. There you have it right there in prophecy. In Isaiah 45:1-3. Alright, there it is right there. We got more to add to my Isaiah 45 that I started the other day. I have given a leave to as many of the Jews that dwell in my country as please to return to their own country and to rebuild their city and to build the temple of Yahweh at Jerusalem on the same place where it was before. I have also sent my treasurer Mithridates, and Zerubbabel, the governor of the Jews, that they may lay the foundation of the temple and may build it 60 cubits high and of the same latitude, making 3 edifices of polished stone and 1 of the wood of the country, and the same order extends to the altar whereon they offer sacrifices to Yahweh. I require also that the expenses for these things may be given out of my revenues. And here Donald Trump, since he started running for president in 2015, it's been over a year now, it's been about 15, 16 months he's been running for president, it says that his holdings, all his owning, everything that he owns, In 1 year, his profits increased from his businesses. His profits increased, oh my goodness, $150 million, $200 million over what he normally makes about $365 million a year. That's his salary. He says his profits jumped from $365 million a year to about $570 million a year. Just in 1 year, his profits jumped. So it says right here in the type, he says, the Antipical Cyrus is going to, out of his own revenues, he's going to put into rebuilding this temple. Now keep in mind that typical Cyrus back then, he was called a Gentile, and rightfully so. The Jews adopted him and said he is one of us. He's our brother. They adopted him and made him a Jew, but he's a Gentile, and they said they call him the Savior, Deliverer, and Messiah. He said, "You're our Messiah." All right. So Donald Trump is the Messiah today. I have also sent the vessels which King Nebuchadnezzar perished out of the temple. Let's back up a little bit. I have also sent my treasurer Mithridates and Zerubbabel, the governor of the Jews, that they may lay the foundation of the temple and may build it 60 cubits high. Now, this is that new third temple is going to be built 60 cubits high. And of the same latitude, making three edifices of polished stone, and one of the wood of the country, and the same order extends to the altar whereon they offer sacrifice to Yahweh. I require also that the expenses for these things may be given out of my revenues. So Donald Trump says, "Hey, I've got revenues from business consortiums all over the world that I own." So he says it makes a lot of money. People are contributing and patriotizing my business more than ever. And so he says, "I'm going to take the profits. I'm going to take the revenues that I'm making. I'm going to pour into this thing. Make sure it gets done. Moreover, I have also sent the vessels." And keep in mind, Donald Trump is a Gentile. And he's going to employ these Gentiles, the kings and rulers of the Gentiles, to do this. "Moreover, I have also sent the vessels which King Nebuchadnezzar pillaged out of the temple, and have given them to the Mithridates, the treasurer, and to Zerubbabel, the governor of the Jews, that they may have them carried to Jerusalem, and may restore them to the temple of Yahweh. Now their number is as follows: 50 chargers of gold and 500 of silver, 40 thera of clean cups of gold, and 500 of silver, 50 bases of gold, and 500 of silver, 30 vessels for pouring the drink offering, and 300 of silver, 30 vials of gold, and 4,000 of silver, with 1,000 other large vessels. Number 3, I permit them to have the same honor which they were used to have from their forefathers, as also for their small cattle, and for wine, and for oil, 205,000. And 500 drachm, and for wheat flour, 20,000, and 500 atabe. And I give order that these expenses shall be given them out of the tribute due from Samaria. The priest shall also offer these sacrifices according to the laws of Moses in Jerusalem, and when they offer them, they shall pray to Yahweh for the preservation of the king and his family, that the kingdom of Persia may continue. But my will is that those who disobey these injunctions and make them void shall be hung upon a cross and their substance brought into the king's treasury." Okay, just apply that to Antipical Cyrus today, Donald Trump, and you've got the picture of what's going to take place over in Israel and in the world after Donald Trump becomes elected. Because they're going to try to steal the election, all right, and they may do it. But the thing is, Donald Trump knows the majority of the people voted for him, and that he should be there. And so Yahweh has a way of putting him in there, no matter what this government tries to do to keep it from happening. all Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, did to keep from Cyrus from coming in and overthrowing him was he locked himself in the palace and he locked the gates and he turned and the river was running full stream underneath the gates so nobody could come under the gates because the river occupied that. And everything was locked up. You know why Belshazzar did this? Because I just read to you, his army had been defeated earlier. His army, he didn't have an army. Belshazzar didn't have an army to go out there and engage this encroaching army of Cyrus and Darius, of the Medes and the Persians. He didn't have an army to meet them because it had already been defeated and taken care of earlier. So all he could do was just lock himself in and say, well, it's impossible for them to get in. And if they can't get in, well, then they'll just go on and leave us alone. And then we'll just continue on functioning as a nation of Babylon. But Yahweh had other plans. He said, your end is now. And he wrote a handwriting on the wall in the temple showing Belshazzar, him and his people were weighing the balances and found wanting. And so there's no way he's going to stop that from happening. Okay, the authenticity of the decree. Authenticity of the decree, it says the historical nature of this decree has been challenged. Professor Lester L. Grabe has argued that there was no decree, but that there was a policy that allowed exiles to return to their homelands and rebuild their temples. He also argues that the archaeology suggests that the return was a trickle taking place over perhaps decades, resulting in a maximum population of perhaps 30,000. Remember, it says the works of Flavius Josephus, translated by William Winston, how Cyrus, king of the Persians, delivered the Jews out of Babylon and suffered them to return to their own country and to build their temple, for which work he gave them money. Okay, so Donald Trump is going to do the same thing because he's antithetical Cyrus. He's going to give them money. He's going to take this out of his revenues. In the first year of the reign of Cyrus, which was the 70th, okay, and 70 from the day that our people were removed out of their own land into Babylon, Yahweh commiserated the captivity and calamity of these poor people, according as he had foretold to them by Jeremiah the prophet, before the destruction of the city, that after they had served Nebuchadnezzar and his posterity, and after they had undergone that servitude 70 years, he would restore them again to the land of their fathers, and they should build their temple and enjoy their ancient prosperity. And these things Elohim did afford them, for he stirred up the mind of Cyrus and made him write this throughout all Asia. Thus says Cyrus the king, since Elohim Almighty has appointed me to be the king of the habitable earth, get that now, habitable earth, the eastern hemisphere, that was all that they knew for the whole world, and he called it that, wherever the world is inhabited by people, and he has made me the king over it. I believe that he is that Yahweh which the nations of the Israelites worship, for indeed he foretold my name by the prophets, and that I should build him a house at Jerusalem in the country of Judea. Number two, this was known to Cyrus by his reading the book which Isaiah left behind him of his prophecy. For this prophet said that Yahweh had spoken thus to him in a secret vision. My will is that Cyrus, whom I have appointed to be king over many and great nations, send back my people to their own land and build my temple. And that's, I mean, this prophecy has to be fulfilled today, because this still has to be done in the Antichrist. This is foretold by Isaiah 140 years before the temple was demolished. Accordingly, when Cyrus read this and admired the divine power, an earnest desire and ambition seized upon him to fulfill what was so written. So he called for the most eminent Jews that were in Babylon and said unto them that he gave them leave to go back to their own country and to rebuild their city Jerusalem. Number two, and the temple of Yahweh, for that he would be their assistant, and that he would write to the rulers and governors that were in the neighborhood of their country of Judea, that they should contribute to them gold and silver for the building of the temple, and besides that, beasts for their sacrifices. Number three, when Cyrus had said this to the Israelites, the rulers of the two tribes of Judah and Benjamin, with the Levites and the priests, went in haste to Jerusalem, yet did many of them stay at Babylon, as not willing to leave their possessions, and when they were come thither, all the king's friends assisted them, and brought in, for the building of the temple, some gold and some silver, and some a great many cattle and horses. So they performed, let's read that again, yet did many of them stay at Babylon, as not willing to leave their possessions. Okay, we have the same thing today. We got people that have, we've been in Babylonian captivity in the Antitype since 2017 is the end of the 70-year Babylonian captivity for antitypical Judah today. And we're going to have those that have taken strange wives during this 70-year captivity that we've been in, and one of them has been our brother, Alan DeLong. He's taken a strange wife, and if he wants to get back on board, he's going to have to give up his strange wife and his possessions that he's accumulated. He's going to have to take and be willing to give that all up if he wants to join in with this antitypical migration of the antitypical Judah back to the Holy Land with the 50,000 of the house of David and the tribe of Judah to go back to help to fulfill this decree by antitypical Charles Donald Trump. Whenever that time comes here in 2017, that's when this decree, antitypical decree, is going to be made. And when they were coming thither, and the king's friends assisted them and brought in for the building of the temple some gold and some silver and some a great many cattle and horses, so they performed their vows to Yahweh and offered the sacrifices that had been a custom of old time. I mean this upon the rebuilding of their city and the revival of the ancient practices relating to their worship. Cyrus also sent back to them the vessels of Yahweh, which King Nebuchadnezzar had pillaged out of the temple and had carried to Babylon. So he committed these things to Mithridat, the treasurer, to be sent away with an order to give them to Sanballat, that he might keep them till the temple was built, and when it was finished, he might deliver them to the priests and rulers of the multitude in order to their being restored to the temple. Cyrus also sent an epistle to the governors that were in Syria. The contents were of here follow. King Cyrus to Sisinnes and Satrabuzanes sendeth greetings. I have given leave to as many of the Jews that dwell in my country as please to return to their own country and to rebuild their city and to build the temple of Yahweh at Jerusalem on the same place where it was before. I have also sent my treasurer Mithridates and Zerubbabel, the governor of the Jews, that they may lay the foundation of the temple and may build it 60 cubits high, and of the same latitude, making three edifices out of the polished stones and one of the wood of the country. And the same order extends to the altar whereon they offer sacrifices to Yahweh. I require also that the expenses for these things may be given out of my revenue. Moreover, I have also sent the vessels which King Nebuchadnezzar pillaged out of the temple, and have given them to Mithridates, the treasurer, and to Zerubbabel, the governor of the Jews, that they may have them carried to Jerusalem and may restore them to the temple of Yahweh. Now their number is as follows. And he gives, I've not done read this before. So he says, the numbers, I'll read again, 50 charges of gold and 500 of silver, 40 clean cups of gold and 500 of silver, 50 basins of gold and 500 of silver, 30 vessels for pouring the drink offering and 300 of silver, 30 vials of gold and 2,400 of silver with 1,000 other large vessels. Number 3, I permit them to have the same honor which they were used to have from their forefathers, as also for their small cattle and for wine and oil, 205,000 and 500 drachm mean, and for wheat, flour, 20,000 and 500 atrabae, and I give order that these expenses shall be given them out of the tributes due from Samaria. The priest shall also offer these sacrifices according to the laws of Moses in Jerusalem, and when they offer them, they shall pray to Yahweh for the preservation of the king and of his family, that the kingdom of Persia may continue. But my will is that those who disobey these injunctions and make them void shall be hung upon a cross, and their substance brought into the king's treasury. And such was the import of this epistle. Now the number of those that came out of captivity to Jerusalem were 42,462. Now, for an encore, go on your own, go read Zechariah 14. And it says all the gold and silver is going to be gathered at Jerusalem from those that are going to take it and destroy all those kings on about, and going to bring their gold and all their substance is going to be contributed to the treasury of the Jews, those that have went back according to Antioch Bosharis of Donald Trump's decree. This brings us to the last of this hour. Contact 60 is 11th hour calling. It's number 11. Click on the audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Looking for a city. I'm going to sing this song by Acapella. We don't have no music for it, but we're going to try it anyway. It's entitled Looking for a City. Here among the shadows in a lonely land, we're a band of pilgrims on the move, burdened down with sorrows, shunned on every hand, looking for a city built above. Looking for a city where we'll never die. There the sainted million never say goodbye. Where we'll meet our Savior and our loved ones too. Come, O Holy Spirit, all our hopes renew. In this land of danger, going here and there, trusting in the blessed Savior's love. Though we may be strangers in this world of care, looking for a city built above. Looking for a city where we'll never die. There the sainted million never say goodbye. Where we'll meet our Savior and our loved ones too. Come, O Holy Spirit, all our hopes renew.